you love him. Lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Right. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen and amen and amen. And just look into the Word and you'll find Him. Because that's where He's at, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Let's turn in our scriptures, Revelations 1. And just remember to pray for Wade and June. Be flying back tomorrow. And Nanny and I'll be picking them up there at the airport. So just remember them and pray that the Lord would take care of them, give them a good time today in the service, because I'm sure they finished this morning, an hour behind us, but then he'll have this evening coming up to minister. So remember that. Pray for each and every one. Amen. Any other announcements? I generally miss one. I know Terrence has made the announcements for the next weekend and everything, and in the time of where that we brothers will be going to fishing together, and we're looking forward to a good time in that. And you know, the Lord would bless each one, right? Amen. So let's just pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, and we thank you for your grace and understanding. We pray that you would just be with each and every one of us and guide us, and let your light shine in our hearts and lives, that we may see you, Lord, and be directed in your grace. Forgive our sins and cleanse us, Lord, and let your light shine in each one of our hearts. Bless those that are away, and bless the sick among us, because you promised it, that you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from destruction. So we pray that you'd guide each one now. Have your way, and just come and speak to our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Seems like we have a up and down a little bit of a feed. I don't know what it is, Josh, but I can tell a little bit up here. Maybe it's not back there, but it's kind of going up and down some. So, yeah. All right, Revelations 1. I was thinking, you know, I've preached on this many, many times out of here, but I hope it's never got to where it becomes, you know, tiring or whatever. I don't know where it's at or where it's the... sound like we get the boom, boom off of it a little bit, man. But we have spoke on this, and we'll continue, I guess, to speak on it, because I love it. It's the bride's book and the time, you know, and the doing. So we just appreciate it. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, the time is at hand. I just picked up a couple of these and didn't give them to put on the, you know, the internet, but, you know, the time is at hand. See, it's this time. That's where he's pointing to, is this time. It's right here. All right, and Brother Brown says in the Revelation's Book of Symbols, 1956, 617, paragraph 49, so the time is at hand. That this book is to the servants of God for the last time, when the time is at hand. When this book will be revealed. The time is at hand when the book is to be revealed. Do you understand him? See, that's where we're at now. All right. Then he goes down to paragraph, that was paragraph 49, goes down to paragraph 78 of the same book, and he says, then the time is at hand, and never a time since that day until this has the mystery of Jesus Christ ever been revealed until these last few years. Then, which means at that time or shortly thereafter, you know, then the time is at hand. Right? Then page 16 of the Church Age book, he said the time was not at hand previously. Right? The time was not at hand previously. In the wisdom and economy of God, this mighty revelation, though fully known to God, could not come forth hitherto. Thus we immediately learn a principle. The revelation of God for each age can come in that age only and at a specific time. All right? He said, this last age, Laodicea, and the revelation of God will come in its due time. It will not falter, neither will it be premature. Think of this and heed it well, for we are at the end time. All right? So the time is at hand. The time to what? The time to understand. This is the day when it was to come forth, and we was to understand and see the hour that we're living. And I don't think there could be anything any greater than for us to find out who we are, to see who we are and what it is, you know, is in the understanding. I just don't see how it could be any, there's not anything could be any greater than to realize the revelation, you know, of who we are and what we're doing here. And that way, with revelation, then we will be able to withstand Satan. And this is the most horrible age of all for Satan to try in every way. And now he's using the message against you and I. Because we were talking last night about it in the Bible study and different things. I just don't understand when you can read something in the Bible. Brother Ryan asked a question there at the end last night about how could these people kind of believe doctrines with that scripture that he gave, you know, that he that believes that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. See, that's right here now. That's got to be right present tense. And how could they believe those doctrines with that type of scripture? And I said, I don't understand it. Because that's the what I believe, you know, that when I can look at the scripture and I can see it that simple, that I can read this like the book of Revelation and read it. So we'd say, well, what is the time at hand? Well, did that mean right there? Did that mean over here? Did that mean over there? You know, well, it means the time when this book is being revealed. The time is at hand. All right. So then that's a simple thing of knowing and seeing to understand the hour that we're living. Now, I gave you one this morning, and I want to repeat that again to us as we begin to look at this, because this book is the book. Now, remember, it's, we gave you the quote where Brother Brown said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's not just the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ in his bride down through the seven church ages. Now, that's the book of Revelation. So it's our book. It speaks personally to you and I. If you want to read any book, you would ask me, Brother Dale, what book in the Bible would be good to study on? The book of Revelation. Well, now, all of them symbols and all that. Well, just listen to the prophet. And if you can't find it, ask somebody, and we'll try our best to help you to understand, you know, the things of the where it's at, or find it for you to see what Brother Branham has said about these things, and then see that would bring it to us. All right. Now, we ended up kind of speaking on the last thing, saying that he said in the book, so go ahead and pull up number one, brother, of what we were using this morning, that, you know, look what the prophet had to say. He said, it's like a voice of a trumpet saying unto me, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, we'll get to it in a minute. The Alpha and Omega ties into where that we're at in the day, you know, the end time. All right. The first thing I want to introduce is here, I'm the I am, the first and the last. The first thing, when the trumpet of God sounded out, it, he turned and said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am from A to Z. I'm all of it. Stand and listen to me a while. Now listen to that one. It goes with the other one that I brought, you know, we'll get to it in a minute. He said, stand and listen to me a while. All right? Now, he's saying I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the all of it. I'm the complete revelation. Now, if you understand I'm the complete revelation, Now, stand and listen to me a while, is what Brother Branham is saying that is being said to John on Patmos. See, now who's this addressed to? Where? Addressed specifically where about? Back to the age. Now watch. No, to the church. To the church. It's not just to an age, because an age can't receive anything. And we know the message goes to the age of Laodicea, the age of Philadelphia, the age of Ephesus. No, but it's being specifically addressed to the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, nobody can understand the book unless they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, you can word out the words and express something to somebody, you know, from speaking and explain something by intellect. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost and the person you're talking to don't have the Holy Ghost, if one has the Holy Ghost and the other one don't, one's speaking in one language, one the other one, right? Because one is a natural language, the other one is a heavenly language. So God says, now listen, you understand who I am. Now listen to me a while. Stand still and listen. Go ahead and pull the next one up, brother. Because it's one I gave this morning. And before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. All right? I am the Alpha and Omega, he says. The beginning and the ending. All right? So now listen for a while. See? Listen to the words of authority. Because that's what he's expressing. Then he starts talking about who. Not addressed to even the age itself, because the age gets a split message, right? The age gets to the false and to the true. It's a split message through the ages. All right, one to the true, one to the false, and coming down. All right, but this is to the bride. This is the bride's book. This is the book of you and I, telling about you and I. Some of you may like to read novels, you know, and do it. Well, I'll read them this way. I read a few words in the front, and then I turn to the back. I read John and Mary, and then at the end of it, I read, and they got married and rode off into the sunset. You know, well, I done got the whole story. You can go through all the rest of it you want to, but I've done got the whole story, because I done found out who it was, and I found out what they're doing. You know, all right? But see, God keeps unfolding his word. And my whole point now is to try to get us to see one thing. The Bible is revealing you and I. Now, these are helpful notes and points for later on. Because you see, the believers in the book, we look at it like this kind of book. And see, that's what we're doing over in Revelation 5 when we talk about the seals and the taking the book and that. We're like trying to look at a book like this. You know, some form that we can make. And then we say, no, it's not that. It's scrolls. You know, well, we've been all through those things, but I thought the Bible was written about the people on earth. You know what? I thought it was written about Moses and his life while he was here. Right? It was written about Paul and his life while he was on earth. It was written about Jesus and his life. Well, why can't we see that it's written about you and I and our lives? We are, we'll get to it after a while, we, under our messenger, will be the final voice to the final age. Well, why can't we believe that? Why can't we believe who we are? Well, it's just so hard because there's so many things that's going wrong. See, you're still hooked on if everything was going right. So let me quote Brother Branham. I may misphrase it a hair, but it won't be much. But he said, the starry skies, you know, and the great things that are happening are no sign of God's approval. He said, neither is the stormy things a sign of his disapproval. He said, his approval is in the elect. All right? Because that's his children. Now, no matter what you think about your family, you know, you still have a closer connection to your family than you do to anyone else, right? I mean, you may love other people and all like that, but still, it's your family. Well, I believe that's the way God is. It's just not a book written down that this is the actually, you know, you could take this Bible and put it into a movie and let the players act it out. You know, I mean, you could see all of that. You could see I love to watch the Ten Commandments and, you know, and see who is it? Charlton Heston there playing Moses and all. And I thought he'd done a good job in the basis of portraying pretty close about what it would be like, you know, in a lot of respects, you know. But still, my point is the whole Bible could be put in movie form to be able to be seen. Well, what would be our part of it? We can look back and see other ages. But why can't we see who we are? You know that they're waiting on us? It's not us waiting on them. They're waiting on you and I to come to a place for a change to be able to take place. Because Hebrews 11:40, without us, they cannot be made perfect. Like Brother Dick was saying the other day, see now Brother Branham died and went to the grave, so he's one of them waiting on us. All right, but so is Brother Tatum, Sister Tatum. You know, Paul saying that. Then a few days later, Paul had his head chopped off. You know what? He was waiting on us. Well, why can't we believe that, church? Why can't we see who we are and the hour that we're living and see then the revelation of Jesus Christ is not, now listen, is not just the revelation of seeing Jesus Christ. That's the key that I'm trying to get us all to see. We said, well, I see him. He was there 2,000 years ago, and there he was, beautiful. We got pictures of him, and we've got all of these things, you know. And that's well and good. But where's Jesus Christ? See, it's not just talking about Jesus. That would go into a oneness form. And if you stop only trying to reveal Jesus, then you're a oneness preaching. But I want to see Jesus Christ. And that way, then I'll be seeing myself. All right? And learning who I am. All right. Now, so in the book of Revelations, he's never saw alone. He's always in with the bride or in the bride. And that way then we don't have to look at it to try to figure it out. We just read the book. All right? We just read the book. Let's start just a little bit now and just read some. Turn in your Bible. I didn't give them this one to pull up, but turn in your Bible to Revelations. We got down to about verse 8 this morning, and let's go over to Revelations 1:9, and let's just read. If they catch up with us, we'll have it up there in a minute if they want to. But we'll go over to verse 9 and just read a little bit. Right. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, as I said, that testimony of Jesus Christ is three times in the book of Revelations. The testimony of Jesus is another one, but makes it four times that God is talking about. And when he writes something to us multiple times, it means to pay close attention to that point. All right? So there it is. I'm your brother and fellow companion. By the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now watch this. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now the voice was saying, voice. He didn't hear a voice introduce a voice. Right? the voice was saying. Huh? Are you following me? See, what he heard was the voice. Not a voice introducing a voice. It may be carnal, but my point of illustration is why? Because look, a voice saying. The voice is saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesians. What? The voice now is in red letter. So we were taught in Baptist Bible school, you know, that if it was red letter, it meant that was God speaking, right? I believe it's all God speaking, but it emphasizes that it means the voice of God is speaking to us, all right? And look. Look what he says. Now, I love this scripture. Because watch what he said. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He turned to see the voice. He knew the voice. This is John, see. John knew that voice. It was not a strange voice that he heard. He knew that voice. He said, and I turned to see the voice. You know what? He was expecting to see Jesus. All right? Now, I called down there to, you know, Mark's and them, and if Donnie answers the phone, I know who that is. If Mark answers the phone, I know who that is. You know? Why? Because I've heard that voice. The voice then and the person is the same. It's hard for me to disguise my voice. But most of you have heard it so long until when I call you, you know who it is. Without having to ask, who is this, you know. Why? Because you've heard it. But by hearing it, you know who is speaking to you. Now get the point. John knew who was speaking. He was expecting to see Jesus when he turned. And that's what he saw. But he didn't see the physical Lord Jesus standing there. So I guess that was a surprise to him. Because if you... Like I said, if you were turned away and I say, you know, Brother Collie, he knows who's there. You know? Then if he turned around and saw Brother Donnie, or maybe Brother Gary, he can do a good job. Okay. And where's Timbo? Where's he at? Tyler. Tyler, he can imitate the biggest portion of it. All right? He can say, went there, he says, this is my wife. And he says other things, and everybody knows who he's talking about, you know, or who he's imitating, you know. Huh? But it'd be surprised if you turned around and saw him when you know the voice personally. Huh? That would make a surprise to you. So I guess John was surprised when he turned. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I don't think John was expecting in any symbolics. Right. Are you following me what symbolics is? When he turned to see the voice, He saw what now? Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now he knows there's something about that. Because, I mean, you hear a voice of a man, and you turn around and there's seven candlesticks. And you know the voice came from there. All right? See, then if that voice came from there, he knew there was some problem. Now, he knows it's got to be broke down what that symbol is. Right? See, because a symbol has to be interpreted, right? That's why people don't like the book of Revelation, see, because it's in symbolics. All right? But see, the prophet told us what the symbolics were. Now watch what he said. No. He saw seven candlesticks. And watch him. We know that he saw, and we can cover it. We have over and over. That he saw the candlesticks would be the church ages, you know. And it would be the messengers to the age, right? All right, everybody understand that's what he knew that would be, that what it would be. He could understand that. But here's what surprised him, what? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, he's not seeing Jesus. But yet he knew that was Jesus' voice. Are you listening? He knew the voice and he was expecting to see Jesus. But he didn't see Jesus when he turned. The first he sees, seven candlesticks. Wait till we get over to Revelation where you see that you'll see the Revelation 4, you know, a little further where we're at, and get over to 4 and start seeing the throne. Then he sees one on the throne. Then he sees people around the throne. This unfailing light that we have the, what you call it, overlays. You know, I always liked that in school because I always wondered who drawed the body out. But I love them things, you know, where it's the overlays where you can see a human body. All right. You know, skin and all. And you turned one over, and when you did, they took the skin off. You know. Then you turn another one over, and there you can see the intestines and the heart and everything, you know. See, it was unfolding what you're seeing. All right? So that's what's taking place now, the acts of a play. All right? So he turns to see, and he sees the seven candlesticks. Maybe his understanding is that, you know, it's going to be the church ages and the things. Maybe God revealed that. Whether he did or not, that's okay with me. But I'm just saying that was probably what he was showing him. But look, now here he gets another opening. And the overlay opens up, and here he says, one like unto the Son of Man. Notice it didn't say the Son of Man was standing there. It was one like unto the Son of Man. All right. Now, one like the Son of Man, to me, would be the Son of Man in another form. You know what we mean, to change an amorphy? So you see the Son of Man in another form. What form did he see him in, see? Like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. He knows the symbolics. And gird about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, he didn't see a male image. Because you would not emphasize the paps. He was seeing a female image. Right? Gird about the paps. I know it, where it goes to. Because it was moved from the center part as a servant down through the times and ages of the high priest and move up to the shoulders. But it was still moved to the paps. This Son of Man was standing, this one likened to the Son of Man would be in a female image. So who's he seeing? Well, it says one likened to the Son of Man. Don't say the Son of Man. See, he's still in the point that it's got to be revealed to him. No matter if a prophet sees something, it's got to be revealed to the prophet what that is, right? All right? So now let's get a couple of quotes and just listen to what's being said. Go ahead to number 2 on your notes, brother. And let's see what he's talking about. This is Patmos Vision 60-1204, the evening service, paragraph 151. Now, it's the King James Version, which you probably have either Scofield or maybe a Thompson chain or some of them. It isn't correct there because it says seven candlesticks, and the correct way is seven lampstands, right? Because a candlestick, see, it would burn out. It's a lampstand coming up from the Old Testament, you know. And it's a lampstand because they kept pouring the oil in. It wasn't like a candle, it just burned out and gone. And that's what he's saying. It isn't correct there. It does not say candlesticks. It says lamp holders, lampstands, I believe is the right, correct word said in the original translation. See, in other words, the seven golden candlesticks were seven churches. All right. It goes on describing it, what it is. Being turned, I saw one like the Son of Man standing in the midst of the middle of the seven lampstands. Now, I know the doctrine years ago, and a lot of people have brought it on the Alpha and Omega. And they'll say he was in the first church age, and he'll be in the last church age. That's the Alpha and Omega. But he said he was all the way up and down in between. All right. Now, you describe that to me, and I'd like for you to draw me a picture. I'd like for you to draw me seven golden candlesticks, and draw me whatever you want to put in the middle, but put a feminine form standing in the midst. Now, if it said six, you could do it pretty easy. Right? You could just pull them apart. Right? And draw it in the middle. But how are you going to get it in seven? So there goes back to Hebrews 13:8 is what we've been talking about. That it was the same Holy Ghost in every church age. All right? The same Holy Ghost in every age can put him in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, where he can be in each age. Now you can comprehend what's being said. All right? Now, so then that's where he's put it at. Now look to the next one. This is the Patmos Vision, same message, paragraph 257. He's talking about, and laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. Oh my, not a prophet. God. That's not a prophet back there in Revelation 1. That's God. All right? God in what? Another form. True? This is God you're looking at. Because he goes on down, you know, into the scripture of verse 16, 15, 16, somewhere he fell at his feet. Right. Not a prophet. This was God. And let's get a little more picture of that. Go ahead with the number 4. John does not, this is page 49, Church Age book, Patmos Vision. John does not say he turned to see the one whose voice he heard. Watch it. He turned to see the voice. Right? Oh, I like that. He turned to see the voice. The voice and the person are one. and the same. Jesus is the Word, John 1. He turned to see. John does not say he turned to see the one whose voice he heard. So by now, see, you'll see that he's catching on, that when he turns, when he first hears the voice, he's thinking, I'm going to see Jesus when I turn around. But that's not the way that it's done it, see. So when he starts turning, he realizes things are appearing that is not Jesus standing there in flesh. No. The prophet said he didn't turn, does not say he turned to see the one whose voice he heard. But he turned to see the voice. The voice and the person. Now he realizes what he's looking at. It's seven golden candlesticks, lamp holders, you know. And he sees one like unto the Son of Man, but he realizes that what he's looking at is Almighty God. The one he was expecting to begin with to see when he turns, now it begins to unfold to him where Jesus is at. Because remember, at this time on Patmos, all right, the Holy Ghost had already come on the day of Pentecost and brought it into bride form, right? Look at the next one now. Just a few things to get it on your mind. Page 340. Laodicean Church Age. What? When the Methodists failed, God raised up others. And so it has gone on through the years. Until in this last age, there is again another people in the land. People. Who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Under their messenger. We were talking about it last night, you know, and somebody said, well, we need to go back and do it. So, hiya, hiya. You remember that last night? Somebody says, do that. So, hiya, hiya. Okay, you know. Okay. So you understand? I'm glad of one thing. Y'all know I'm crazy, but I'm glad of one thing. Science says that you can put a tape on and listen to it and learn a language while you're asleep. I'm glad of that. I just wonder how much you can learn, but I'm still proud of the fact that science says it can be done. Okay. All right. That gives me comfort. Yeah. All right. But see, under her messenger, she will be the final voice to whatever voice was protruding out of the candlesticks was the voice of Almighty God. All right? But he was in another form. That's the title of this. You know, we'll put a little second title to everybody. The title is what? Bride form? Under her messenger, she's the final voice to the final age. She's the bride form. There's not going to be another voice come down to condemn this age. It has done been condemned. And under her messenger, she will be the final voice to the final age. All right? And who is that then? Let's go on to the next one. Seven church ages, 54:5-12. What? One like him. So he's reading the scripture in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. One like unto the Son of Man. Look. What? One like him. Now he's expressing what I said. This is not him standing there in person, physically seeing him. All right? One like him. Now watch what he's. Who was this? And he answers it. It's the bride. All right. Now that don't need interpreting, does it? He just answered. He asked a question. In other words, who is this? There's one like unto the Son of Man. He said, it's the bride. One like him. Watch how it was. Clothed with a garment down to the foot. The holiness of Jesus Christ covering her. Has washed us from our sins with his own blood. All right. Girt about the pouch. Not a man. A woman. All right. The bride of Christ is what he saw. All right. Now, watch what I'm saying. He saw the candlesticks. He could have got the symbolics and seen the church ages, right? God could have opened to him what that was. That was the church ages that was coming down. All right? Now, but that wasn't all he showed him. So he showed him one in the midst of the seven golden candles, like unto the Son of Man. He showed him the bride. All right? The bride of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, just a couple more and we'll get back to preaching a little. Look at the next one. Page 52, Patmos Vision. Which is church age book. There he stands. One like unto the Son of Man. Now watch the description of this Son of Man. As the jewel is beautified by the mounting of the ring, so he is glorified in the midst of the churches. Right. It is the Lord's day, for John sees him standing not as a priest, but as the coming judge. The golden girdle is no longer girt around the waist where the priest must wear it as he ministers to God in the holiest place, but is now around his shoulders, for he is not now the priest, but the judge. All right. Now, I thought we believed that we would judge angels. See? All right. See, then the same one you're looking at is one day going to be sitting on a throne judging angels. And if it shows, now listen, if it's showing him in his judge form, and we will be sitting on the throne with him. So you go over to Daniel, we could get into that, Revelations, get to white throne, and see that there's one sitting on the white throne, and then there's many sitting with that one, which is the bride of Jesus Christ to judge the world. All right, now, then at the time of judgment, to those that are sitting on the throne, judgment is complete. You agree? I mean, come on now. We know they can do it today, and you know, because they're crooked judges, but really the judge is supposed to be the final authority. And not necessarily today, but still. He's supposed to be the final authority. Right? Especially if you go to the Supreme Court and get to the justice and all, they're supposed to be the final authority. All right? So you understand what I'm saying? Before he shows the church ages and what we are, he's already took us in the symbolics and brought us even to the white throne judgment, to where that we sit on the judgment with him, judging everybody else. Now, if that's true, how can we fail? Right? You know, the only way you can fail is to be a failure yourself. I don't know whether that's the right way to say it, but we're the only ones that can mess this up. But if he's seen us, we're going to be there. Now, if not, he'd have to rewrite the book. But he's not going to do it. Okay, one more. This is why we are not a denomination, 1958, 927, paragraph 180. Now, if you notice in Revelations 1, We find Jesus standing in seven church ages, in the seven church ages. The seven golden candlesticks. When he turned and saw one like unto the Son of Man standing clothed with a... How it was? It was a bride standing in the candlesticks drawn out. All right, now there's two or three times that he tells us who this is in Revelations 1. John finally falls down to reading on down in the scriptures. He falls down to worship this one. And he said, see, you don't do it. And the red letter says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. But where is he speaking from? That's the key, right? He's speaking from you and I. We're going to be the final voice of this final age. There won't be no court of appeal if people turn us down. We're not trying to scare nobody. It won't work. You know, we were talking this morning about it. That there's actually people, and it wouldn't want the wording, but you know, there's actually people, there's my wife and I coming up the road, you know, that you can't correct them. And Brother Branham says you can't tell that woman that it's wrong for her to wear her shorts and cut her hair and things. Now why? And remember, that's an anointed one's end time, right? Or is that anointed that not? It's because she's anointed with the Holy Spirit. Right? How can you tell these preachers about the land, in the message, out of the message, or whoever, that they're wrong about their doctrine when they are anointed with even the genuine Holy Spirit? Is that the prophet's message? But now the ones that he sees, remember, there's two churches. There's a bride. The bride is not just an anointed one. Sure, she has the anointing, and that's what she is. She is the anointed. I mean, the anointing. So when you go over to Daniel and pick it up, Daniel 70 weeks and pick it up, Brother Randall said, we ride back in the millennium as the anointing to the temple of people. That's our personal church I'm trying to make it. But now get what I'm saying. The church, I'm trying to divide church and bride. All right, my wife gets on to me all the time about when I use the word church. But I'm using what Brother Brown says. All right, because she likes me to use the word bride, which is good. You know, the bride. Because there's a difference in the bride and the church. All right. But you know what? They're sitting right there together in the church. Right there together in the age that we're here. Each age had wise and foolish virgins. Each age had false vine and true vine. So the bride down through the ages is what John is seeing on Patmos. He's not seeing the church. He's not seeing the anointed ones, even though the anointing is the genuine Holy Spirit dwelling on man's spirit and makes him religious. Want to go to church, signs and wonders taking place. But that's not his bride. His bride is shown in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The church is not shown there. The church comes up later in the writing of the book. Now, you might not like this one either, but I won't spend much time on the church ages because I don't feel it's necessary to cover each age. But I will make this statement. When you look in the church age, we know that he was speaking to two vines, right? All right. You know, looking at that false vine, She's the church. All right. She's the anointed one. She claims to be the people of God. And God speaks to her just as well as he speaks to the bride. And you read Revelations 2 and 3, because we won't try to cover those. We'll go, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. None don't come up, we'll go over to Revelations 4. So read that. Because I'm not going to spend much time in the church ages. Because my emphasis today is the point. In the church ages, you know that what we've done? Let's get a little bit back there off of some of the other messages. Brother Branham in the Invisible Union said your name is transferred. Remember that? Now, Brother Gary, do you realize when the church ages, when we started out, we was a church? Come on. But when we got born again, we become the bride. You agree? See? But you started out as a church. Under justification and sanctification, before you receive the new birth, you are a church. Just like all the other churches. That's why, Brother Dale, you don't hear me throw off on them people, right? Why? Because we, every one, got our start there. Whether you like it or not, whether you ever went to a denominational church, justification and sanctification has to clean out that old thing. So read the church ages, and you'll see that he's speaking, Brother Brown says, to two vines. But just remember, you and I used to be of the wrong vine. You can believe all you want to about all these seed doctrines and all these things, but you still started out lost. Right? Started life lost. But God saw that, God put a seed in me. Where was it and what was it? That's all I've ever asked anybody. What is the word? Well, okay, Paul said, the letter killeth. The word that's in an individual will destroy you and I if it's not quickened and made alive. All right? So we started in the ages. So don't feel so bad. You know, don't look at it in the wrong. Oh, that old false vine. That's where people are today, you know, that old denominations out there, them old Methodists, Baptists, and them old Pentecostals. And just remember, whether you agree with it or not, you better listen to it. We started out lost. And being lost, we was the church, a religious society. But the new birth makes you the bride of Christ. And when you get the new birth, you're going to come out of the church. So then your name is transferred from churchy to bride. All right? That's why I don't choose to go through the ages. I don't think it's necessary to just take the ages and express what they are. We should know that. If you don't, go get your church age book and read it. I'm dealing with the symbolics of the things that the prophet has expressed unto us to show us what this is. Because to me, now listen, this Revelation chapter 1 goes from Genesis to Revelation. It picks you and I up as what we was and brings us to what we are. It shows our start as the church, a religious society. I say that with words, you know, religious society. And then it shows us transferred to show us as the bride of Christ. And before he started chapter 2, which would start the church ages, read chapter 1 over. And then you'll see that no matter what it says we are, and we realize we done that. We was that. God already said we're perfect. God already showed us at the sitting on the white throne with us, because gird about the pouch with a golden girdle. That's going to from the waist to servitor to ministry to the shoulders. And I thought we believed that we were the shoulder. I thought we believed Isaiah said what? Upon his shoulders. And you know his soul, shoulders is the bride, because that's where you carry the weight from. You know, that's the bride of Christ. So we're looking at ourselves as God sees it. And what was that one that Brother Branham gave? That a diamond so beautiful and all of this, that, and the other? And he says, that's what we are. And I said it like I did this morning. No matter how bad your children are, you don't look back down at them. And every time they come in the house, don't come in my house like that. Now there's people that have done those things, and it's your life to live, not mine. My kids are welcomed in my home no matter what they ever do. Now, I won't agree with what they're doing. And I let them know in a hurry I don't agree with what they're doing. All right? And there's certain things I tell them don't bring in here. All right? But they're welcome to come. Because they're my children. And I count my daughter-in-laws as to be my children. Count my son-in-laws to be my son. He's number three. You know, he's number three son. All right? Some of you come along, you're going to have to be number three, number four, number four, number five, and all like that. And Rachel, she's daughter number two. She's got to fit in there because she's adopted in. Oh, there she is. Yeah. But you see, church, I'm trying to get us to see what God says about us and for us to quit saying what the world says about us. I know I'm a sinner. I admit it. Saved by the grace of God. All right? See, then that's why I can't look down on nobody else. I don't agree with people, but still, that's human beings. Do some of the most horrible things that could ever be thought of. Even a good Baptist would never do things like they do in this message. And I say that because it's where I come from, a Baptist. But I remember in the Baptist when they wouldn't let a double-married preacher preach. In the Baptist church. And I'm just 72 years old, so that means it still had to be in the 50s. And up into the 60s. Before they started changing. I happen to sit on the deacon board. And the deacons in the Baptist church is the one that calls the preacher. They go visit him. They have a preacher's committee, but it's always made up of the deacons. And they go visit the preacher. That was question number one. How many times you've been married? See? We did believe a few times. You know? But you see, now it's just, well, what does it make any difference? We're under grace. Don't make it disgrace. Make it the truth of God. And walk therein. All right? Are you listening? I ain't turned the page yet. But now listen. See, it was not a prophet, Brother Branham emphasized, that was shown there. So it wouldn't have been Brother Branham standing in the seven golden candlesticks. See? Now, listen to what I'm saying, because this is what I believe. When you see the bride of Christ, Brother Branham is part of the bride of Christ. So you get the emphasis of what I'm making. He didn't turn and see Brother Branham standing there. He turned and saw the bride. You know what? That put Brother Branham standing there. Do you understand that language? Because he's part of the body of Christ. So when you're dealing with the body of Christ, he was part of the body of Christ. So when he turns to see the voice, first off, he's expecting to see Jesus. But when he realizes that he's not seeing him, he begins to see the symbolics. And the symbolics is opening up to see the bride of Christ. And then he sees one like unto the Son of Man. Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. That's the first message I preached, 1969 in Athens, Georgia. That was the first message I preached in a church. I taught Sunday school and things, but the first message I preached, that Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. I still got the notes written in the front of my Bible. I always transfer them. This for the purpose, because it was part of what I had back there. Where Brother Branham was telling us who the Son of Man is. The Son of Man is the Word. That's why Jesus was called the Son of Man. He was the Word made flesh. Now, what we look at, see, and naturally it came down through the ages, yes. But when God is looking at the seven golden candlesticks, he's not seeing the church ages. Now, you're going to think I'm totally turned around, but listen. He's not seeing the church ages as described in chapter 2 and 3. I'll give you a minute to ponder that one. Because he's not seeing the wrong. You're listening to me? When John turns and sees, he sees what God sees. And he sees the bride right. He don't see the wrong. Or else how could you even speak of Son of Man? See, you wouldn't even speak of Son of Man. Because there is no, I challenge you, come and show me. There's nobody in the Bible. Paul and them didn't use the phrase Son of Man. It was not for them to be used. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John used the phrase because that was what Jesus was. But Paul and them never mentioned Son of Man. But when Brother Branham starts out in the 47 or something, he starts out talking about the Son of Man. But he was not that the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man that God was using. He said, if he don't come, I can't do nothing. I'm waiting on him. He said, and even there's a tape there where that I'm just using his voice. Right? How close would it get to seeing him? But yet he wasn't the Son of Man. But when he goes here to Patmos, he sees one like unto the Son of Man. And I believe he saw Paul, Irenaeus, Colombo, Martin, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, in this day. Right? He saw this day. Now, he didn't just see this day. Are you following me? He saw the bride down through the ages, all the way through. Because she's always been him. She is the Son of Man. He said, well, wait just a minute now. You made her greater than Brother Branham. No, Brother Branham in the body now. You lost that one. Because I made that emphasis before I made the statement. Brother Branham being part of the bride of Jesus Christ can be revealed in the book of Revelations as one likened to the Son of Man. Because he's in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is no different from the Christ. Are you following me? So when John sees what he sees, you know what he sees? Now listen. See, you'll think, oh, he's crossed himself. He sees Jesus. No, I done been through it. He didn't see him stand there in flesh. But he sees Jesus, who is Almighty God. And he's in bride form. No, he sees you and I. But he sees all the bride of Christ down through seven ages. But if we hadn't have come forth in the end time, if we don't come forth into this word, then the Son of Man can't be brought back again like it was. Oh, but Brother Branham, that was a ministry. Someone had to introduce the Son of Man. And that's what he was doing. One time, Brother Brown said it like that. He said that he'd be pointing to the skies at a word-born bride. The messenger of this age would be pointing to the skies. See? A word-born bride. And now notice here, he shows how perfect we are and writes it before we ever even started the journey. Isn't that a beautiful book? I mean, you want a John and Mary lived happily ever after, you know? I mean, my Lord. To show us already there and shows us even up as far as the white throne judgment sitting there with the government upon our shoulders. Sitting on the throne with him. Now, hold on to this one, so swallow. Then he could get down and walk away. There wouldn't be no empty gap. You get it? He could get down and walk away and reveal himself to somebody else if he wanted to. Because when we go to the marriage supper, you know, he's going to be there for a while. And we'll have to quote scriptures, Brother Branham. Brother Branham said he'd come down through there and we'd be sitting at that table. And he said he'd wipe away the tears from our eyes. That's at the marriage supper. And say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." But you know what our husband does then? Before we go on the honeymoon, now come on, I hope you're thinking spiritual, not carnality. He will be in our midst to wipe away the tears from our eyes. We will see him. He will serve us communion. All right? Do you know what he does? He just simply steps aside. Now, what are we going to be doing? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? No. Maybe we might be having a good old-fashioned meeting. You know? And he just steps away, and Brother Brown says, and goes and reveals himself to the Jews. Now, that's not the corporal body, so maybe he can stand in the middle of it and still be down there talking to the Jews at the same time. Okay? But just get my point. If he stepped out from our midst, it wouldn't leave a vacuum. Because if you see him, you see us. You know? You see the bride, you see Christ. But Brother said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Think on these things. Bride form. Then he's not left without a form. Now you want to go back through and all of the things of the voice, of the many things I looked at this week and thought, well, that's all right, I won't try to bring it. When Brother Branham was talking about the voice, he said, it's the voice of many ministers carrying the message to the world. What God showed John was the bride living upon earth, not just sitting on a white throne, but living reality of on earth and what we're doing and the age that we're living in, and showing us how perfect he sees us to be. That there's no flaws. You say, well, I've just got so many problems. Well, okay, let's see if you believe the scripture. There was a man one time got hired, you know, paid a price to curse Israel. You remember Balaam? Old Balak paid him to go down and curse Israel. Well, he goes down there, and he shows God the hinder parts. Now, that's the words he used there. So you're going to have to interpret that. You know, in other words, the hinder parts, the worst parts you can see, right? And what does God say? Now, Balaam is calling God down. Look at what they're doing. You see what they're doing down there? They're making golden calves. They're dancing around them. They're all in this. They're just doing like everything in the world. Do you see all of that? He said, I can't see him. He's just sitting there grinning. He said, I can't see him. And Balaam said, now you know you can. Your omniscience lets you know it. He said, but you don't see what I see. Brother Ram said, he could tell Balaam, you don't hear the shout of the king in the camp. Balaam heard the shouting and the dancing around the idols. But there was a king in the camp. And he couldn't show him that. You know what I love to put with that? It was really great to understand it. Brother Branham said, if somebody repents of their sins, he said, even with the gift I have, I'm paraphrasing it. He said, I can't call that out. Isn't that something? Why? Because it's gone. It's in the sea of his forgetfulness. So then all that we're doing and all of the problems we've got today is in the sea of his forgetfulness. But you mean that would make you think, well, I can just get by with anything? Well, I'll just go on and do this or do that because I can get by with it. You're not even born again when you think like that. That ain't even with good anointed ones. Why has it been lost, the Christian life of the message believers? You know what I mean, the Christian life? Do you know that people used to be so honest and do it? And dealing, we're telling Brother Benny and him about the man that used to have that little store out there right behind Wade's house. Well, he was gone farming, he's gone working. He had a little store there. You just went in the store and you got what you wanted. And you just laid the money down on the counter. And nobody didn't steal it. Or either you wrote down, Sam Dale, I got so and so on this day, and left it. You know? Well, now you can't even leave nothing laying around, you know. They're going to get in and steal everything they can. But that was the days when we lived. I told you about when I sold my home up there in Gillsville. My brother offered me $5,000 profit before I even had $5,000 in 1965. It was a lot of money. He offered me $5,000 profit. And I had never signed any paperwork with my brother my nephew that I sold it to. I had not signed any paperwork. I just gave him my word. And even my nephew said, just give me half of the money, and you take half of it, and we'll let him howl the place. I said, no, Terry, can't do it. I said, my word ain't worth $5,000, and it ain't worth nothing. You got my word. See, that's where I want to be, and how much more does God want us to believe his word, right? Think on these things. What form is God in today? From Calvary, he went up, you know, went down, up, paid the price, come back on the day of Pentecost. He's been in bride form now for 2,000 years. And that bride form is the one I'm talking about that's standing there on Patmos. Martin Luther was there just as well as anybody else. And the Son of Man wouldn't even spoke of in his ages, but he's part of the Word. It's because he was only seeing the bride. He wasn't seeing the church. She's busy somewhere else. He was seeing the bride. The form of God, the immorphy, where He changes His form to live in you and I. And you know what people do with you and I is how they're treating God. That's not a fear. You don't hear me going out here, bless God, you may be careful what you say about me. No. No, but it's like I've always said, if I sin, you got a right to go tell the world I've done wrong. You watch the preachers this message, you ain't going to tell it to you that way. You better watch that. You're touching God's anointed. If I go out and commit adultery and you put it in the Atlanta Constitution and the Journal, morning, evening, both, I guess they still got them, and you put it in a paper and send it around the world, you know you're not going to get in trouble with God because I done it. I'm the one that's in trouble. But if I didn't do it, and you go tell it, you're in trouble with God. Dire's where you touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. The little bride of Christ. I hope you understand what I'm trying to drive. If the Lord willing, Wednesday we'll pick up and try to get into Revelation 4, because I don't want to get into church ages. I don't think it's necessary to cover each age. I think I'll review just a little bit Wednesday to make sure you understand. In those church ages, you see the false vine and the true vine. And you even see the true vine that's got problems. But at the end of every age, to him that overcometh, it's all been taken care of. Let's stand together. Anybody have a need before we go into the communion? Just to get rid of everything? Let's just sing, Brother Dick, I love him. He loved him. I love you because anybody has a need, just get rid of it, get everything out of the way, and purchase my salvation on Calvary Street. You believe him? I love you. I love you because he first loved me. Purchased my salvation on Calvary. Now the Bible says that they, when they came in and all went through it, and said they tarried one for another. We generally do this at the last of the doings, but let's just do it now. Let's just have a moment of silent prayer. If anybody has any need, any problem to get rid of, now's the time to get rid of it. Because that way then you don't have no problem if you get rid of it. But if you have something you need to get rid of, now's the time to do it. You know? And then we'll just take a time of tarrying one for another, praying one for another. All right? All minds clear? Because see, it's not how much worthy I am to take the communion. There is not one person in this building worthy to take communion. All right? There's not one person in this world that is worthy to take the communion. There is a God that has made all true believers worthy to be able to take it. Because no matter how good you think you are, the goodness is not counted. But the badness don't make you good either. You know what? We don't emphasize that. We emphasize the atonement of Calvary to make us all clean and worthy. All right. Okay, let's pray silently before the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for making us worthy. And we rest upon you for what you have done for us. We love you now as we go on through the fulfillment of the communion. You just have your way with each one and lead each and every one of us in Jesus' name. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." See, we're not worthy, so examine ourselves and depend upon him, right? "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to tarry, to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come." Amen. Father, we thank you for this bread. It's been made for this purpose this afternoon, to be able to receive it. It's unleavened. Nothing to do any hindrance or problems with it. But it represents your body, which is your word. Lord, we just ask you to sanctify the bread and the partakers. We know this is not your body, but it's in symbol form. But we just got through talking about how great a symbol really is. To see one likened to the Son of Man standing in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks, and actually seeing God standing there in bride form. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to just bless and sanctify each one with this bread in Jesus' name. What about when we get there one day? And we'll have a marriage supper. Be taking communion. Having a wonderful time. He can come by and draw all the tears from her eyes. You say, tears in heaven? I didn't think there was anything wrong with being so happy that you cried. You know? Have you ever seen people that literally just get so happy till they just start crying? You know? Well, is anything wrong with that? Sorrow is not what you're considering. No. You're not considering you being sad. We're considering the fact that we're there. And you know what Brother Brown said? He said, then we'll look across the table and see one another and realize who made it. We see each other and we realize, well, there's old brother so-and-so. You know, what does it matter if it's a table 49 miles long if you're able to see all the way to the end of it with eyesight? What's the problem? You know, I mean, what are we worried about? You can spend all of your time trying to figure that out instead of accepting it. Right, okay. Well, we're taking our communion. Remember Brother Boyd and them, because they're going up to try to visit Rick there in the jail to see if there's anything, you know, can be done or whatever. If you can say, well, what did he do? What was this? I don't know. So that's my answer. I don't know. I understand some things they said. They come to probably arrest him about something, and then there was problems. But, you know, I don't know. But he could be spacing at least 40 years or maybe 50 in jail, you know. You say, well, they can't do that. Well, they can. You know, if they get the cases against you, And God's the only one that can handle it. All right? And we will be praying for the Lord to help him, you know, and deliver him from those things. Just like we pray for the brother over there in Iran, you know, because, you know, we want to believe it, all right? Father, we thank you for this wine. It's made for this purpose today, that we can take it and we can receive from you and understand that the stimulation of the revelation into our hearts and lives comes by the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for each one, the Spirit of God releasing from that blood and can come back upon us, uniting us together in you, Lord. We thank you. So we pray that you would just bless this wine, make it to be, Lord, for each and every one of us, the things that we need this day. We thank you for it all, and we commit it to you, sanctified and the partakers, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come morning, I'll walk by the rivers. I'll rest near the evergreen tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. Sometimes I'm despised and rejected, and I question, oh Father, how long? Right? Then I take one more look at Mount Calvary, and it gives me the strength to go on. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest near the evergreen.